This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Joining us right now from Pro Football Focus, he is Steve Palazzolo. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Now, Baltimore Ravens, big win last Sunday night football against the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been talking all morning about Marquise Hollywood Brown and his presence. I thought it was his best game as a Raven in terms of being on the route tree, getting open, getting wide open. What did he grade out this past Sunday, and how does it compare to other games that he's had?
Oh, yeah, he was really good. I mean, 89.9 receiving grade in our 0 to 100 system. Anything up in the 80s is really good. Into the 90s is excellent. And he's one of the highest-graded receivers for us this season. So, look, he's a huge part of this offense, obviously. You know, just the speed, presence, given the way the Ravens play football, trying to run the ball so much and making defenses defend the entire field. So, Brown, you know, creating an open outlet for Lamar Jackson so that they can be a little bit more efficient in the passing game. It's a huge part of this offense, and it was definitely great to see. He's got 9 first downs through 2 weeks, and that's, a really nice compliment to what the Ravens are doing in the run game.
Speaking of the run game, how is the offensive line graded out, particularly Alexander Villanueva? This is such a horrific week 1.
Yeah, Villanueva is like my guy. I've been pushing him forever because, and I use the word average with a ton of respect, but he's an average to slightly above average NFL tackle, which is really valuable in today's NFL. The grade was ugly in week 1 at right tackle, as we expected. The Raiders were dominant off the edge. It was ugly for Ronnie Stanley, who was banged up. It was ugly for Villanueva, who just got dominated by Max Crosby. But Villanueva moving to the left side got his grade back to good. You know, he was really, really good in the run game, had that key block on the game-winning run, knocking Chris Jones off the ball. So Villanueva through 2 games has evened out to being a good, solid grade. Patrick Bakari doing a really good job filling in at right tackle the other day from a pass-blocking standpoint as well. Kevin Zeitler's been solid in pass protection as well. So overall, I think the line's been pretty good now that they got, if you take away the 2 tackles just getting beat up on the first night, the offensive line overall has been pretty good.
Hey, Steve, what about the Steelers? Because last year we watched them go 11-0, and we kept saying around here, like, I just don't see it. I know they're winning games, and they faded down the stretch. Kind of shocked at what happened this past weekend with the Raiders. Where do you see them as a team? Do they have the same problems they had last year?
Yeah, I think they're worse than they were last year. Last year they had a better offensive line, and they were concerned about their offensive lines last year. They couldn't move the ball on the ground, and they completely overhauled it. And I think they've got more question marks up front. I think Big Ben, every now and again, you see the flashes of, okay, he can get the ball down the field a little bit. The consistency is just not there at all. I think they have good enough receivers offensively that if they're aggressive, they can create chunk plays if they attack with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, and Pat Freiermuth has done a really nice job at tight end as a rookie. But yeah, I have a lot of concerns, as far as the Steelers go. The defense is still solid. They're pretty good, but I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were these last couple of years. T.J. Watt was hurt on Sunday. That definitely affected things. He would have dominated his matchup at right tackle against right tackle Alex Leatherwood. So the Steelers are still – they're a good team. But their margin of error, I think, is a lot smaller. And you're right. When they were 11-0, it was a fake 11-0. By our numbers, by our all of it, they weren't a real 11-0 team, and that did end up catching up to them later last year.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus. Steve, a team that makes me scratch my head are the Buffalo Bills, and the guy who makes me scratch my head even more is Josh Allen. And I'm not saying anything silly like people say about Lamar in the offseason. Teams have figured him out. However, he's looking more like the Josh Allen before last year. He's completing 56% of his passes for a passer rating of 77.9. What is going on with Josh Allen?
Yeah, the thing about, like, the Lamar conversation, last year at this time, going into the season, if you said, look, Lamar has to regress a little bit. He threw touchdowns on 8% of his passes or 9% of his passes. Of course that's going to regress a little bit, right? And it did. So Lamar got a little bit worse statistically from an incredible 2019 season. I think it was fair to apply that same, you know, idea to Josh Allen. Look, he can't be as efficient as last year. He could be, but it's probably unlikely. By our numbers, he was a below average quarterback in 2018 and in 2019. Last year, he jumps up. He's a top five quarterback. We all saw it. He was incredible. But I think it was fair to expect him to take a step back, both from a performance standpoint and certainly statistically. And through two games, he looks a lot more like 2019 Josh Allen, which is erratic with accuracy against the Steelers. He missed two open deep balls from a clean pocket as well. So that, you know, that game could have been completely different. Against the Dolphins, he threw the ball into coverage a few times, three times, and only had one interception to show for it. So decision-making, accuracy have kind of regressed a little bit, but it's only two games. I expect Allen to get a little bit better, get back on track, but maybe he's not the superstar, you know, the consistent superstar, and that's, you know, the nature of quarterbacking. Not everybody's going to be, you know, a top five quarterback every single year. So still more to see from Josh Allen, but definitely off to a slow start this year.
I know it's a small sample since early in the season. Anybody surprised you? And by anybody, I mean any team surprised you this year? Somebody you thought was going to start off really strong who's just not, or someone who's, you know, you thought would be mediocre, you know, who's looking good. For me, it's the Carolina Panthers who look better than I thought they'd be. Anybody like that stand out for you?
Yeah, I think the Panthers are the clear one, and they're gonna probably win tonight and look really good defensively against the Davis Mills led offense. They'll be 3-0 tomorrow morning, and the Panthers, the defense has been fantastic. Pass rush is outstanding. They're blitzing like crazy, getting more pressure than any team in the league. We'll be asking questions about how good this defense is, and did they fix Sam Darnold? And there are a lot of intriguing things about the Panthers. I do think, you know, running into the Jets in week one helps. A Saints team that was depleted as far as their coaching staff and their entire secondary being hurt, or half their secondary being hurt. So there's context there. But, yeah, I've been impressed with the Panthers. They, you know, Matt Rhule came in. They drafted all defense in 2020. You're starting to see some growth from a lot of those players. They're doing some unique things defensively. So I'd say the Panthers are definitely that team. And I'm not necessarily surprised by the Broncos at 2-0 because I thought they had a really good roster. But the way Teddy Bridgewater is going out there and just not missing a ton of throws and giving those playmakers a chance to make plays. Again, the Broncos haven't played a tough schedule yet with the Giants and the Jaguars, but really impressive start. And I think they're a legit 2-0. You know, I think the entire West with the Broncos is 2-0, the Raiders are 2-0. It's going to be a battle out West with the Chiefs and Chargers. All the four teams look like they're going to be pretty competitive.
Hey, Steve, lots of great games this weekend. I think some high-powered offenses meeting up, but the one that everyone's going to have circled is the Rams and the Bucks. What's your thought process on these two teams meeting up in week three? It'll be in L.A., which I think gives the Rams a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, you know, the Bucks, obviously, you look at the Super Bowl team, bringing everybody back. Brady is our highest-graded quarterback by far, playing at a high level. But when you look at the Rams' defense last year, they were so good. They only gave up something like six completions on 20-plus yard passes last year. They were so good defensively. They lose Brandon Staley as defensive coordinator, but Raheem Morris has come in and essentially kept a similar defensive scheme. They're using Jalen Ramsey like a hybrid linebacker, corner, safeties, flying around, making plays all over the place. The Rams gave the Bucs a little bit of trouble on the defensive side of the ball last year. The Bucs' offense was not great. It was midseason, but that's going to be the matchup here. The Bucs have scored over 30 points their last 9 games, or 10 games, whatever it is, including the playoffs. They've been unstoppable since the second half last year. But I think that matchup's going to be great. And then offensively, Stafford has come in, upgraded over Jared Goff. The play-action game, always good with the Rams. They've got difficult receivers to cover. Cooper Kupp is outstanding. It's going to be a battle. I think it'll end up becoming a shootout because the Rams' offense has been so good. The Bucs have given up a little bit defensively. And I think the Bucs offense is just too good to completely shut them down. But the Rams defense is equipped to make just enough stops. So it'll be the game of the week. And it's going to be a good one. It'll determine perhaps, you know, home field in the NFC the way the Rams are playing. So I expect a good game. I think the Bucs end up pulling it off, but the Rams could give them some trouble.
Sam Palazzolo. Sam, tell folks in Baltimore how to get you on social media.
Yeah, I'm at PFF underscore Steve, and then our PFF NFL podcast. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, we do three big shows every week.
Steve Palazzolo. Steve, thanks a lot, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.